Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
And it's good to be back again. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up in the next 25 minutes, the tangled web of Sudanese politics. President Omar al-Bashir visits South Sudan, where fighting between the forces of Salva Kiir and Riek Machar continues.
Of course, there is history between Khartoum and Riek Machar, who was split before from this SPLA in 91, who was supported by Khartoum for a decade.
And in Ghana, Parliament is recalled over the sale of a state-owned bank to a private equity fund linked to the brother of the president. We hear what some Ghanaians have to say about the sale.
They will claim that nothing prevents them from giving that to the person who is coming to buy. So they have their power. Yeah, don't have any power. So it's a certain, but you don't have power to prevent it.
And later in the programme, we'll also be eavesdropping once again on the Crossroads generation as they try to find out who was behind a burglary.
Top story.
Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir arrived in South Sudan's capital Juba on Monday for a day of talks on the violent unrest in the country. His visit came as peace negotiations got underway in neighbouring Ethiopia. Calling for an end to the fighting, Bashir told reporters, "We come so that we can bring peace to South Sudan, to our brothers and sisters in South Sudan. Our relationship is very important." Annette Weber is an expert on South Sudan at the German Institute for International and Security Affairs in Berlin. I asked her why President Bashir had recently been rather quiet on the subject of the fighting in South Sudan.
For him, what really matters is the oil and the conclusion of the outstanding CPA agreements that are not yet settled. So I don't think it's so important for the northern Sudanese right now if there is crisis in Sudan.
What outstanding matters are you referring to?
The boundaries are not yet set. We have the Abyei issue. And of course, we have an ongoing conflict in North Sudan, in southern Kordofan, southern Blue Nile, where Bashir feels that there is support still coming from South Sudan. So in this sense, he needs a more stable southern side.
The fighting in South Sudan, is Khartoum involved in this conflict covertly? Is it trying to influence the course of events behind the scenes?
As far as we know for now, for the last 3 weeks, no. It's really a homemade crisis. But of course, there is history between Khartoum and Riek Machar, who was split before from this SPLA in 91, who was supported by Khartoum for a decade. So of course, what we don't know is if there are now discussions between Khartoum and some of the defectors. But as far as the beginning of the crisis and the political core of the crisis, we don't see that there is a lot of involvement of Khartoum. Or we don't see involvement of Khartoum. It's really a homemade crisis.
Who would Bashir prefer to see in power in South Sudan?
I think, interestingly, it's Salva Kiir, because he gets along well with Salva Kiir. If we go back to his main interest, the oil, I think he would be a pragmatic person taking the one who is in control of the oil fields. And due to the fact that most of the oil fields are in more Nuer-leaning areas, so potentially more likely to be controlled by Riek Machar, I don't think he would be against Riek Machar. But getting along with Salva Kiir definitely is what we know for now. But I think the pragmatic decision will be those who are in control of the oil.
So oil is the main reason for his visit to Juba. Has the fighting affected Sudan in other ways?
Not yet. The humanitarian crisis might affect, because if you look at Upper Nile and Malakal, there might be people crossing, and the humanitarian issues might affect Sudan. Potentially also border trade will be affected, but not in direct encounters.
Annette Weber from the Institute for International and Security Affairs in Berlin. In the meantime, we've heard that Sudan and South Sudan are considering setting up a joint force to protect the oil fields in the south. Face-to-face talks between the warring factions have finally got underway in neighbouring Ethiopia. But a spokesman for opposition forces, headed by Riek Machar, cautioned that they had not yet started talking about substantive issues. Via Skype to Oxford in the UK, I asked Sudan analyst Douglas Johnson whether he thought the talks could bring the fighting to an end.
We all hope that they will. I think there are a number of obstacles in the way and some issues that have to be addressed.
Where are the major sticking points, and why has it been so difficult to arrange direct talks between the two sides?
One of the main sticking points is an internal opposition within the SPLM. Those who were opposed to the more authoritarian aspects or the more authoritarian actions of Salva Kiir, those people are not necessarily united around Riek Machar's desire to become president. Riek Machar has yet to be able to produce a national movement, a national force. The people that he has mobilized for fighting are mainly different groups of Nuer. But because he still does not have a national army confronting the government, what is happening is that the fighting is retreating more and more into ethnic divisions.
Can you see some sort of power-sharing agreement being reached?
I think that power sharing is not necessarily going to be a permanent solution, and as an interim solution, I think it will be very unstable. If there is to be an interim government formed, there has to be a new constitutional convention, one that goes beyond the internal wrangling of the parties and one that brings in the civilian representatives of the civilian population to craft a much more representative form of government than South Sudan has right now.
How difficult is it going to be to stop the conflict from flaring up again? Who would monitor any ceasefire?
The AU might have to become much more involved. However, there is suspicion within a large range of the South Sudanese population about the involvement, for instance, of the Ugandan army, which would make it difficult for the AU to put in a force.
You mentioned Uganda. How do you assess President Museveni's role in this conflict?
Well, Museveni's hostility to Riek Machar goes back to the 1990s, when Riek Machar was, in effect, allied with the government but pretending to offer an alternative force. So there's no love lost between Museveni and Riek Machar.
Author and Sudan analyst Douglas Johnson.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
In the Ghanaian capital Accra, Parliament was recalled for an emergency session on Monday to debate the controversial sale of a bank, Merchant Bank Ghana, to a private equity fund. Until the sale, 90% of the bank's shares were held by the state. And the president's brother, Ibrahim Mahama, has been linked to the equity fund. From Accra, Isaac Kaledzi reports.
Honourable members, I have called on the member, the deputy minority leader, to move his motion.
New Year holidays for Ghana's 275 lawmakers were cut short following an emergency call-up. They were asked to reconvene to debate the sale of a local bank known as a Merchant Bank. Until the sale of the bank, the Ghanaian government held 90% stake in it. Difficulty in the bank's operations forced shareholders to sell it to an investor. The initial offer to take over the bank came from First Round, a financial service provider in South Africa, but their offer was rejected. However, a local equity firm, Fortis Equity Capital, reportedly owned by the president's brother, Ibrahim Mahama, got the green light from the shareholders. This has not gone down well with the minority lawmakers. They argue that the deal has not been transparent and now want a parliamentary probe into the deal. The minority leader, Osei-Che Mensah-Bonso, said the House had the right to debate the bank takeover.
Order 20 of our rules provide that there shall be freedom of speech, debate and proceedings in Parliament, and that freedom shall not be impeached or questioned in any court or place out of Parliament.
But leader of the majority in parliament, Dr. Benjamin Kumbwa, opposed this view, saying the issue was already in court.
There is no doubt that the matter on the Fortis Bank acquisition, sale or otherwise disposal of shares is a matter that is pending before a competent court of jurisdiction. I would ask that let's be guided and to find out whether it is not possible to defer this inquiry till after the determination of the court case.
I spoke to some Ghanaians who have savings with the bank concerning the sale, and this is what they had to say.
They will claim that nothing prevents them from giving that to the person who is coming to buy. So they have their power. Yeah, don't have any power. So it's a sad thing, but you don't have power to prevent it.
Merchant Bank has been one of the most prosperous bank system in this country. But because of the loan which people took and they don't pay, that's the reason why the government is going ahead to sell the bank. They are not interested because there is no justice in this country.
While those who oppose the sale of the bank continue to fight for a possible reversal, banking experts will be closely watching the activities of the bank this year.
Isaac Kaledzi reporting. Zimbabwe's former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, who was defeated by President Robert Mugabe in last year's elections, is facing acute personal problems. His marriage to Elizabeth Macheka has broken down. As Columbus Mafunga reports from Harare, Tsvangirai's domestic concerns have political overtones.
On Monday, both camps refused to talk about actual reasons leading to the breakdown of the marriage of Zimbabwe's former Prime Minister, Morgan Tsvangirai. They, however, confirmed that the less than a year old marriage was on rocks. Tsvangirai, who lost last year's elections to veteran Zimbabwean leader Robert Mugabe, is yet to comment about the state of his marriage. Here is what some Zimbabweans say about the seemingly headed for breakup marriage.
Well, you know, if he had learned to keep his pants on, he'd probably be in less trouble. Those are teenage boys' problems, not a mature man's problems. So, you know, I think he probably needs to do a bit of growing up.
Yeah, we saw it coming. This guy was told that he was dealing with the ZANU-PF functionaries, and he ignored everyone. Now it's coming out, and what everyone has been saying has been proven to be true.
But not everyone sort of predicted that the former Prime Minister Tsvangirai's marriage will end up this way. Some people have been speculating that the reason to Tsvangirai's marriage breakdown is politically motivated. But for this Zimbabwean, this isn't the case.
It's normal in any relationship for a marriage to break down or to be threatened. But generally, I think let Zimbabweans face the reality that we need to be mature because we want to treat, let's treat Morgan Tsvangirai as an individual besides the MPC president.
Tsvangirai is a human being like any other person and is likely to have marital problems just like any other person.
The former Zimbabwean Prime Minister Tsvangirai married his estranged wife Elizabeth Macheka, a daughter of a senior official in President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party last year. This was after his first wife, Susan Tsvangirai, died in a traffic accident in 2009. Before marrying Macheka, he had a customary union with a senior ZANU-PF lady, which lasted a few weeks to set the platform for his marriage with Macheka. Now it seems the 60-year-old Zimbabwean opposition leader is back to square one.
Columbus Mafunga reporting.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Great to have you with us for the 16th episode of Learning by Ear's Crossroads Generation entitled In the Lion's Den.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
First, let's see what's happened so far. Dan invited Mercy to his room, although girls are strictly forbidden in the boys' dormitory. In a conversation with her best friend Trudy, she confessed her doubts.
I'm scared. I don't want to disappoint him, but I don't think it's right either. What should I do?
Hey, Marcy, if I were you, I wouldn't be sitting here in the library right now reading books and doing my head in.
So Marcy set her doubts aside and sneaked in the boys' area to meet Dan in private. It seems she's trying to escape the trouble at home. Her mother Lulu has just walked out on Marcy's father after he sold their newborn baby. Lulu had also found out that her twin sons, who were supposed to be living with their aunt in the neighboring country, had mysteriously disappeared.
Lulu, what did you tell the police?
I reported Banda and Kadu missing, that's all. Are you happy now?
Lulu, remember who you're talking to. I'm still your husband.
Meanwhile, Nicky made a terrible discovery. When he got home after school, he found his mother tied up and the house ransacked. But the police still have no leads on the robbers. How will the Jumbe family cope with the shock? Let's listen in. They have just gathered around the table for lunch.
So, Nikki, how's school?
School's fine, Dad. Why haven't the police caught the robbers yet? It's been days, and we still haven't heard a word from them.
I'm sure they're doing their best. Investigations take time. I'm so glad nothing happened to you, Mama Nikki.
Nothing happened to me, Jumbe? What are you talking about? Do you have any idea how scared I was? How scared I still am? I could have been killed, Jumbe.
Yes, I know, Mama Nikki, but you weren't killed. You're alive and well. That's why I say I'm glad.
Can't we talk about something else? All this talk about death and robbers is really depressing.
I agree. We have to move on with our lives.
Oh, it's so easy for you two to sit there and say that. You didn't have to deal with being tied up and having a knife held to your throat.
But my dear, there's nothing more we can do. It's a police case. They are searching for the robbers right now.
I could take them straight to the person who planned this robbery.
What? My God.
Do you remember their faces? Do you know who the robbers were?
No. I already said they were wearing masks. But I know for sure who's involved.
Who? Tell us. Don't keep us in suspense.
Our former watchman. That drunkard Msoto.
No way. Mom, how can you even say that? Msoto is Mercy's dad. He wouldn't do something like that.
Nikki, what do you know? Mama Nikki, you may be right. How come I never thought of him? First, he quits his job for no reason at all, and then a few days later, we are robbed.
But Mama, did you recognize his voice?
No, I mean, I don't remember, but he knew our daily routine very well. So he can exactly tell when we left the house and when we came back in.
Dad, please don't fall for this. I'm sure Msoto had nothing to do with it.
No. Come to think of it, Msoto probably has everything to do with this robbery. I'm pretty sure of it. He must be part of the plot.
I won't listen to this. I can't believe what you two are saying.
Nikki, sit down and finish your meal.
I'm going to my room.
So what are you going to do about it?
What? Nikki or Msoto?
Msoto, of course. Leave Nikki alone. He's just a kid.
Well, I don't know. I can't have him arrested without evidence. First, I'll try to find out more about him. As soon as I get anything, I'll inform the police.
But be careful, Jumbe. Msoto could be a dangerous man.
Don't you worry. I know how to deal with danger.
Who is it? Just a second. Oh, hi, Mercy. What a nice surprise. I thought you wouldn't make it. Come in, come in.
Hi. Thanks. Where do you want me to sit?
Wherever you like. Don't you like my room? Actually, I did a lot of tidying up before you came. That's because you are a special guest. So, come and sit down. Relax. And let's have a good time.
How's your friend Biko doing? I thought I'd find him in your room.
Biko's okay. Yes, he likes to spend time here, but he's out right now. Are you all right, Mercy? You seem a bit tense.
I'm sorry. I feel like I just stepped into the lion's den.
That's funny. And what am I supposed to be? The lion?
I don't know. I don't think I should be here, Dan. I don't feel comfortable.
Maybe some music will help you to relax a bit. Just give me one sec. Mm-hmm. Here we go. How do you like that? Relaxing. I listen to this music almost every day. It reminds me so much of you.
Really? And how does it remind you of me?
It's kind of soothing and gentle, just like you. Marcy, come and sit here beside me. You've been standing the whole time. Here, take my hand.
Dan, I really want to believe you, but I'm so scared. I don't know what to do. I feel totally confused. I've never felt like this before.
Come on, trust me, Marcy. I'll never hurt you or do you any harm. I'm just so happy to have you here. You know, I never thought you'd come. Yeah, give me your hand. Right. Don't worry. It's just you and me, okay? And we'll just go one step at a time. Trust your heart. Trust your heart. Great. Now, sit down next to me.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Dan. What shall I do?
Who is it?
It's Biko. Red alert. Red alert.
Red alert? What's that supposed to mean?
Red alert is our way of saying the principal is on our way.
Oh, dear.
She's doing her random dorm inspections. I don't believe it. Quick, quick, quick. We have to get you out of here.
Okay.
So stay close behind me, okay? It'll be all right, Marcy.
Okay.
It'll be all right.
Help us. Help us, please.
Please.
Sir, just a coin, only a coin.
Banda, I'm cold and hungry.
Me too, Kadu. But we have to keep begging. Otherwise, we'll go hungry. And it's really cold here in Wango.
Maybe we should go back to the gold mine. At least there was food there.
No way. Remember how they beat us? And the work was so hard. We'll go back to Kisimba. I miss Mama and Marcy and Dad.
Me too, Banda. But how can we get there? Auntie Lena's the only one who can take us back. People here don't even understand our language. They don't want to help us.
Maybe we should start shouting the name of our home. Tandika. Everybody knows the Tandika slum. And that it's in Kisimba?
Yes. Good idea. Let's try it. Tandika.
Tandika.
We need money to go home.
Please.
And that brings us to the end of the 16th episode of Learning by Ears Crossroads Generation. Will Marcy's brothers earn enough to make it home, or will their Aunt Lena find them first? It's red alert in Dan's room. Will the principal catch him with Marcy? Don't miss the coming episode to find out. If you'd like to listen to a repeat of this program, visit our website, dw.de/LBE. You can also follow us on Facebook. Until next time, take care.
And before we go, a reminder of our main stories here on Africa Link. Face-to-face talks between the warring factions in South Sudan have now got underway in Addis Ababa. Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir, on a visit to Juba, has said talks were the only way forward. And Parliament in Ghana was recalled for an emergency session on Monday to debate the sale of a state-owned bank to a private equity fund. And there we end this edition of Africa Link. We welcome your comments on this programme, either in a text message to 491609575950 and email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. As always, thank you for listening. We're back again at the same time tomorrow. Until then, this is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.